The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
I ask you to turn with me to Mark chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 35. And we'd like to attempt to answer the question this evening: does Jesus care in the midst of the storm? Mark chapter 4 and in verse 35. In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? What's so important in this passage is to understand the promise that Jesus gave his disciples before they ever got in the ship.
Amen.
He says in verse 35, Let us pass over unto the other side. And Jesus affirmed to them that they would have safe passage.
Amen.
And that's so important for us to understand when we get into difficult circumstances, when we get into facing the storms of this life, because faith is all about trusting the promise of God.
Amen.
Trusting the Word of God. And there's no time that you need to trust that more than when the water is coming over the sides of the ship.
Yes.
All right? He says, first of all, let us pass over unto the other side. Then verse 36, when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with them other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And this seems to have been a very common occurrence on the Sea of Galilee, because there's quite a few instances of them being on the sea and having a lot of storm issues on the Sea of Galilee. But I want you to understand, this is not a frivolous problem.
Right.
Okay? He says in verse 40, why is it that you have no faith? Now, they didn't lose the effect of the new birth in their heart. They had faith. They just weren't living out that faith.
Amen.
By trusting in Jesus in the midst of this challenging circumstance, in the midst of this storm. But sometimes when we read accounts like this, we look at them and we kind of, put our hands on our hips like Jesus. Why is it that you have no faith? Why is it that you're just crumbling and wilting in the midst of this circumstance? And we're going to see that they turn on Jesus. Lord, don't you care about us? That they doubt not just whether they're going to be safe at the end of this, whether they're going to lose their life, but in the midst of trial, in the midst of a severe storm, they question if Jesus even cares about them. Okay? So we read accounts like this, and sometimes we're very hard on these disciples. And you kind of would think, right, since at least four of the 12 apostles were seasoned professional fishermen,
right.
And not only were they seasoned professional fishermen, but they were fishermen that were used to the Sea of Galilee,
right.
Okay? So they were used to storms, and they were used to storms on this specific body of water. So you would think that professional fishermen who were used to being on the sea, that they wouldn't have just terrified and wilted in the midst of a little bitty storm, right? But I want you to understand, this ship was now full.
Right.
Now full. We're not talking about just a little bit of water coming over the side. I used to watch Deadliest Catch, the crab fishing up there in Alaska, and they'd be in the middle of the night, and they would have these big waves, whoosh, over the deck, and it would. But the thing is, it would wash off.
Right.
It would wash off. Now, it's one thing to be on big, encountering big waves, all right, where the waves, you know, they smack the side of the ship, but then they had these little slits there on those crab boats where the water would go off, right? But they were in a situation where they physically felt like this ship was about to capsize, okay? The ship was now full, okay? These professional fishermen, I'm sure they were used to these storms on the Sea of Galilee, okay? They were used to encountering these storms, but they weren't used to the ship being full of water, all right? But notice their response in the midst of this severe, serious situation. We don't want to discount the severity of this situation, okay? Because this is a ship that is full of water. And Jesus is just down in the bottom part of the ship just sleeping, okay? He's taking a nap on a pillow. He's asleep in the midst of the storm. And what is their response? What is their response to this challenging situation and fear? Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Why is it that you have no faith? We make very poor decisions. We make very rash statements, and we reach very incorrect conclusions when we are filled up with fear.
Right.
Okay.
Amen.
When we're afraid of the circumstance that we're in, and when we get afraid, unfortunately, our nature is to forget everything that God has done for us in the past and to start compounding in our mind that this is the worst situation that I've ever been in, and there's no hope, and why is it that we're going to perish? And then they even got to the point, the seasoned fishermen that are disciples of Christ, they said, Jesus, do you even care about us anymore? Jesus, do you even care if we drown in the middle of the sea? Master, carest thou not that we perish? And that's such a sad response to this challenging situation. But unfortunately, for the children of God, it's a common response.
Right.
It's a common response. And when challenging times come in our life, when storms come, the storms of this life, the loss of a loved one, the diagnosis from a doctor of a severe illness, you know, loss of a job, and those are adult, real-world problems. But I've also learned, now that I'm an adult and I've had to deal with adult real-world problems, sometimes the storm for a younger person, from my perspective, might not be as severe, you know, not fitting in at school, not being in the popular crowd. You know what? That is a fairly trivial thing in the big scheme of this world.
Amen.
But a 13-year-old may not understand that.
Right.
Okay? So you want to understand that the storms of life, it could be a storm to someone else, even if it's not necessarily a severe storm to me. You know, they may feel like their ship's about to capsize in the middle of this circumstance, even if to me it's not as severe of a circumstance. Okay? But in the midst of storms, in the midst of this life, and that's the nature of this world, we have to understand that the nature of this world is, in this world you shall have tribulation. That's what Jesus told us in John chapter 16 and 33. In this world you shall have tribulation. And what's the, you know, there was no storms in the sea, there were no tornadoes, there were no hurricanes in the Garden of Eden, right?
Right.
Everything was perfect in the Garden of Eden. Why did this stuff happen, okay? Why does these natural calamities happen? It's because we live in a fallen, sin-cursed earth,
amen.
Okay? So it is inevitable. It's inevitable that storms come in life, both in a natural sense, but it's inevitable that storms come in our life, especially in our spiritual walk as well. And what's our response to that? The response to this should have been, you know, this is a severe circumstance, right? The ship is now full of water, but their response should have been, you know what, it looks bad right now. But Jesus said we're going over to the other side.
Amen.
And that's all we need to know. Okay, that's all we need to know is that Jesus promised a safe passage, and it doesn't matter how bad it looks to me in the middle of the storm, I trust the promise of God. I trust the Word of God. But unfortunately, our response is to throw our hands up and say, this is a circumstance, this is a situation that's too big for God to handle. And you know what, God? I don't even know if you care about me. I don't even know if you are sincere to help me in this time of need. Unfortunately, we see this circumstance many times in the scriptures. Let's look at some Old Testament examples, because this is such a common response, unfortunately, to challenging circumstances in the life of the children of God. We're going to look at Numbers chapter 14, but before we turn over there, in Exodus chapter 14, the children of Israel had just got out of Egyptian bondage. And you would have thought that they would have been able to reason by faith that when they were penned in at the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and the Egyptians were behind them, that they would have thought to maybe just a couple days or a couple weeks beforehand, where they were in bondage, and they say all these plagues, and the greatest nation in the world is brought to their knees. And not only did they get out of bondage, not only did slaves get out of bondage, but they came out filthy rich.
Amen.
Okay? And you would have thought they would have been able to think through that and say, you know what? Yeah, this looks bad. But guess what? God just delivered us out of Egypt. But they get on the Red Sea, they get penned in, and they're behind them, and they say, you know what? We should have never even left. We should have just stayed in Egypt. They turn on Moses. They turn on God. And they said, God brought us into the wilderness to die. Now, what should have been their response in the middle of that? Why did God let them out of bondage? It wasn't to die in the wilderness. It was to go to the promised land.
That's right. Amen.
Right? Now, they had a shot to go in the promised land. And then Numbers chapter 14 is where they blew it. All right? Numbers chapter 14, we have the 12 spies. They go in there, and the 10 give a false report, and they get afraid of the giants, and they get afraid of all these big folks in the land of Canaan. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God we had died in the land of Egypt. Would God we had died in the wilderness. Notice this. Wherefore hath the Lord, they're blaming God. It is so unfortunate, so discouraging, that so many people blame God when things go wrong.
Amen.
So many people blame God when there are challenging circumstances in their life. Now, God is sovereign. And I tell you, there's a lot I don't understand. There's a lot that I can't reconcile.
Yeah.
But what you have to go back to when you don't understand what's going on is the Word of God and the promise
Amen.
Of God. Okay? So there's some things that I can't understand. There's some things I can't explain to people why things happened exactly the way that they did. But I do know bedrock principles that God is good. He will never leave you or never forsake you. And He is always with us in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the rivers, where they will not fully overflow us. Okay? Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey, where it were not better for us to return unto Egypt. God brought us out, but He brought us out for the stated purpose of just letting us die in the wilderness. And you know, God has some degree, and I say this with all reverence, of a sense of humor. Okay? Because they say God brought us out here to die in the wilderness. And you know what? He's going to kill our kids in the middle of the wilderness. Well, they did die in the wilderness. But why did they die in the wilderness? Because of their disobedience of not believing the promise of God. And guess what? Those kids that they were worried about, that they were going to die in the wilderness, they got to go into the promised land.
Amen.
So they did die in the wilderness. But it wasn't God's fault.
Amen.
It was their fault.
Amen.
Why? Because of a lack of faith. See, the same thing in Numbers chapter 21. They get tired of manna. Tired of manna. I mean, they've been walking around in the wilderness, and this golden coriander seed bread of heaven just falls out of the sky every single day that gives them everything they stand in need of, and they just got tired of it. They said, first of all, that there was no bread. Verse 5. Okay, this is Numbers 21. Verse 4, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was, noticed, much discouraged because of the way. We also make bad decisions, and we make hasty, rash
statements when we get discouraged too. Amen. When you get afraid, when you get discouraged, you're going to make bad decisions and you're going to make hasty, rash statements. And you're going to definitely, most likely, when you get discouraged, not fall back on the Word of God in the manner that we ought to. The people spake against God. The people spake against God, the same God. And I tell you, isn't God long-suffering? And isn't God good? Isn't God good? And you know, the same time that they were speaking against God, you don't know what he did the very next day? He sent manna down the very next day to them. You know? Amen. Isn't God so good? But they spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, but our soul loatheth this light bread, right? They said, we don't have any bread except for this stuff we don't like anymore, except this stuff we've been eating for all of these years, and it's sustained us perfectly. I mean, could you imagine the nutritional balance of manna? Amen. Just in a physical way. Now, I understand God was working in a miraculous way to provide for them. You know, there wasn't necessarily anything physically special about their shoes, but they lasted for 40 years, right? But so I understand there wasn't anything necessarily about the physical composition of the manna, but it was perfectly balanced,
right,
to give them everything that they needed. And imagine that God's people got tired of God giving them exactly what they needed.
Right.
And then they got so discouraged and they got so confused in their mind that said, you know what? Not only do we not like what God gives us, but they don't even acknowledge what he is giving us. He's not giving us any bread. We don't have any bread because we don't like what God's given us. I'll tell you, we can get so turned around.
Amen.
Especially when we get discouraged. You know, these apostles, these disciples, should have reasoned in their mind that Jesus promised for us to go to the other side, and therefore it doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter if we're, not just if the ship is full, if we're in the water sinking. It doesn't matter. God has promised us safe passage to the other side. They looked at Jesus sleeping as a sign that he didn't even really care about. But you know what? We can actually look at Jesus sleeping and see his sovereignty and his control over the entire situation. You know, they look at him and they say, you know what, he doesn't even care. He's just laissez-faire. He doesn't even understand the distress that we're having on deck. He doesn't even care. He's just sleeping down in the hull of the ship. Instead, we can look at that and say, you know what, this storm was so severe on deck that these men thought they were about to die and they were turning on God. But in God's mind, in the eternal mind of God, this wasn't even worth waking up for a nap for.
Truth.
Okay.
Amen.
Why? Don't turn here because it'll take you a little bit to find it. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 4. Actually, beginning in verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth it up by the rivers. You see, also, these disciples, these good Jewish boys, should have known what Nahum chapter 1 said,
right?
Mm-hmm. They should have known that God is in control of the sea. And they're saying that they believe that he's the Son of God. They're saying they believe he's God manifest in the flesh. Now, which again, makes this, like I said earlier, it's so easy to be hard on these fellas, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm doing that right now. But you would think that after a time or two of God stilling the sea, that the next time they had a little bit of storm, they would have been kind of like, you know what, I think, you know, God's got this one.
God,
I think it'll be okay. Instead, they crumble every time. Just like we would, right? Just like we would when the ship is about to sink. And have you ever been in a circumstance in life where you feel the water coming over the side?
Yes, sir.
You feel it. And you feel, you see it. You see the water rising. And in a natural sense, it feels to you like this ship is about to go down. I'll tell you, that's a time for legitimate concern. But it's not a time to fear, to quench our faith, though.
Amen.
Because we need to be reminded of the Word of God in the same manner that these should have been reminded of the Word of God. God's in control of the storms of our life, just like he's in control of this physical storm on the Sea of Galilee. You know, he can say, "Peace be still," in the middle of that storm, and it ceases immediately.
That's right.
He can. He can. Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 14 and understand that that's not always the case either. Matthew chapter 14. Now, this is the account where Jesus is walking on the water, and they're in the middle of a storm, in the middle of another storm on the Sea of Galilee. And they see Jesus walking on the water, and he's about to pass by them. He's about to walk right beside them. And they see him, and they think he's a spirit, and they get afraid. They get afraid. And what is the reassurance? What is the reassurance that Jesus gives them in the midst of the storm? Verse 27. "But straightway God spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And "it is I" in the Greek is the equivalent in the Old Testament Hebrew of "I am."
Yes.
"I am." So, what you need to understand about this, though, is that Jesus is walking in the water. Peter ends up getting out of the water, getting out and walking on the water for a period of time. But he gets distracted. He takes his eyes off Jesus, and then he begins to sink, and Jesus saves him. But the storm doesn't stop. The storm doesn't stop until Jesus gets back in the boat. Okay? You know, Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed to the Lord sincerely, "Lord, take away that thorn in the flesh." And God said, "You know what? I'm not going to do that." Why? Because this specific thorn had a purpose, lest he should be exalted above measure. God suffered this thorn to remain in Paul's life to keep him humble. And just because we pray to the Lord in the midst of our trial does not mean that God's going to stop the pain right away. He doesn't mean he's going to stop the storm. It doesn't mean he's going to take away the thorn. Instead, what is the promise of God in the midst of the storm? "I am."
Amen.
Right? "I am right here with you in the midst of the storm. Therefore, be of good cheer. Be not afraid." You see, that's the reassurance that we have in the midst of the storm. You know, I know. I guarantee you, you're just like me. My prayers are, "Lord, stop the storm." Why? Because the boat's getting full. We're about to capsize. I'm about to go down to the ground and drown, right? That's my prayer. "Lord, take away the thorn." "Lord, stop the storm." Instead, what does God tell us most of the time? Now, I tell you, every now and then, in a mighty miraculous way, he may say, "Peace be still." Hopefully, if he does that, we'll give him all the honor and the glory for that. But the majority of the time, what God tells you is, "I am."
Yes, sir.
"It is I." He tells you, "I'm right here in the midst of the storm with you." And isn't it great to understand what's depicted right here? In the midst of the storm, Peter gets out there and starts walking on the water, and he gets distracted. He gets distracted. He starts looking at the waves. And we always begin to sink when we get distracted and we take our eyes off Jesus. And then he picks him up and they went into the boat. And as soon as Jesus got in the boat, the storm stopped. And it says in the Gospel of John, they arrived immediately where they were going. Mm. Isn't that good to think about?
Amen.
You see, good things happen when Jesus is in the boat with you, right? Now, that didn't mean immediately that Jesus is going to stop the storm. But he's going to give you encouragement in the midst of the storm. A verse I missed back in Mark chapter 4. They felt like, the apostles felt like that Jesus was sleeping and he wasn't in control of the situation. And they took his sleeping as an indifference of God didn't even really care about me. And again, they should have reasoned in their mind, Psalm chapter 121 and verse 4, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Now, as the Son of Man, right? Jesus is the Son of Man. As a natural man, he needed sleep. He needed a physical rest. And guess what? He was so secure. He was so comfortable in the midst of this storm. He was just as comfortable sleeping in the middle of this horrible tempest as he was in a nice bed. back in Capernaum, right? Mm-hmm. He was just as comfortable in the midst of this storm as he is anywhere. Why? Because he's just as sovereign, just as in control. There, sleeping in the hull of a ship in the middle of the storm, as he would be in a nice bed that we would sleep in. You know, he's not concerned about the situation. Why? Because was there any possibility? Think about this. Was there any possibility of that ship going down when Jesus was in the ship? No, of course not, right? Yeah. Especially when he promised you that you were going to go over to the other side. And God, Jesus is the Son of God, he doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. Notice, behold, he that keepeth Israel, protects Israel. Isn't it good to place our confidence of protection in someone that doesn't slumber or sleep, right?
Amen.
You know, think about a battle. Someone formulating a battle, well, you're going to probably try to attack in the middle of the night because natural men, doesn't matter how good of a warrior you are, how much good of a soldier you are, you're going to get tired, right? And if we're going to put our confidence in someone to protect us, it'd be really good to be someone that's totally 100% vigilant all the time, that doesn't even have the ability to slumber or sleep. Instead, natural men, we got to rest. There's times we're vulnerable. That's what I'm saying. If we're keeping someone, if we're protecting someone, there's times that we might be vulnerable. But there's no time that God is in a decreased state that he's susceptible. Why? Because he doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He's never in a condition that he would be caught off, off guard. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Part of us growing in faith, part of our walk of discipleship, is not to just grit our teeth and have a sour face in the midst of trial, get through the trial, and say, glad that's over with, and then not have grown any from that experience, okay? Part of the reason why God suffers storms to come in our life is for the purpose of strengthening and growing our faith. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We faithfully endure tribulation with patience, perseverance, endurance. We cheerfully endure. That's the idea of patience in the Word of God. Cheerfully enduring. But then, when God blesses you to get through that circumstance, when God blesses you to endure that tribulation, and hopefully be like Job, to see that you're blessed more in the aftermath of that than you were before. It's not always the case in a natural, physical sense, but God blesses us in the midst of trial. Now, once we go through that, there should be a growth and strengthening of our faith that now we have experiences in our life that gives us confidence and hope that when the next storm comes, because the next storm is inevitable.
Amen.
Okay? The next tribulation in this world is inevitable. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when and where.
Right.
Okay? So once we get through that, now we have an experience that we can rely back on and say, you know what? It appears in this circumstance that the water's coming over the side of the ship. It appears that the ship's about to capsize. This is a perilous condition. But you know what? God said, peace be still in the middle of that situation. God blessed me in the midst of that situation. And therefore, I rely back on my experience to build my faith and to build my hope that when the next storm comes, I'm not becoming as afraid and crumbling when the ship's taking on water.
Amen.
Why? Because God blessed me the last time that this happened. And that's a continual growing process. It's a continual strengthening of our faith. Because remember, hope is the foundation of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So our faith grows when we endure tribulation. And then we can rely back on experiences. And guess what? You might not have encountered an experience in your life, especially in a specific area, whether it be an illness or a job situation, it doesn't matter what the circumstance is, you may not have encountered that specific circumstance before, and God may not have blessed you specifically in that circumstance before, but I can guarantee you either there is an example in the Word of God when God blessed someone in the midst of that, or someone in your circle and sphere of influence that God Amen. Has blessed you, has blessed them, which, by the way, God comforts us in the midst of our tribulation. Why? So that we can comfort other people.
Right.
Okay? But even if you say, I don't have any experiences, right? I'm too young. I haven't had these very challenging circumstances in my life where God has showed up in a mighty and a powerful way. Even if you don't feel that way, read your Bible.
Right. Amen.
Rely on the experiences of others in the Word of God. And if you have had an experience that has strengthened your faith, you need to broadly share that to encourage others that might be in a similar circumstance.
Amen.
Okay? But this should be the continual growing process that we have when we endure tribulation. It's not just to grit our teeth and get through it and then just be a blank slate and it has no effect on us. No, we are continually to be growing in faith for our faith to be strengthened. Now let's look at a positive example. Acts chapter 27. And this is another storm in the middle of the sea. This time it's on the Mediterranean, not the Sea of Galilee. And Paul is on a prisoner ship going to Rome. And he tells the centurion, look, you don't need to take this journey right now. You know, I'm not saying don't take it, but don't do it right now because of the timing and the weather. And the centurion didn't listen, and they are now in the middle of this hurricane called Euroclydon. And it's so severe that it says for two weeks, they didn't see sun or stars. I mean, this is a severe storm. I just can't imagine. I can't imagine being in the middle of a storm that is so severe that there is no let up. There's no let up to see the sun or the moon or the stars for two whole weeks. And even if you're used to the sea, I guarantee you probably everyone's seasick by this time.
Yeah.
Since, you know, having to go those waves up and down and everything. And notice the summarization of this situation. Summarization of this situation. In Acts chapter 27 and verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. This is the middle of a truly hopeless situation. Everyone is saying their final prayers. Everyone is trying to get right with their Maker. Everyone is trying to ask forgiveness of everyone that they've been. Why? Because they're about to die, right? All hope, a literal hopeless situation. And what is the Apostle Paul's response in the middle of this situation? You don't know what his response is? Believing the Word of God.
Amen.
Believing the promise of God. The Apostle Paul stands up in the middle of this hopeless situation, verse 21. And Paul, even in the middle of this hopeless situation, he's still salty. He's still salty.
Yeah.
Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm or loss. But now I exhort you to be of good cheer. You know, let me get my flesh out of the way real quick. let me first say I told you so before I get to the encouragement. But now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. This preacher that's in chains, and he's telling us we need to be of good cheer in the middle of this hopeless situation. I guarantee you everyone else was about to, if they weren't looking for some grain of salt of hope, they would have laughed him to scorn. Be of good cheer. What are you talking about? There's no reason to be happy right now. There shall be no loss of any man's life among you. Now, why could he make that bold of a statement? Why could he make that kind of a bold statement when, in all natural sense, all of them were going to die? If you look at it in a natural sense of the severity of the storm, okay? But he says, no one's going to die. Why? For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them sail with thee Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I tell you, that's faith right there.
Amen.
That's faith. In the middle of a hopeless situation, God tells him something that is contrary to his natural circumstance right around him. Because any natural person would have said, there's no way we're getting out of this alive. And then Paul says, I can't even remember the number, well over 200, 200, 300 prisoners on this. And we find out later that none of them died. Even though they were shipwrecked. What do you think in this time, we're not talking about nowadays where you have the Coast Guard and they can like go out there helicopters real quick and go get them. I mean, what do you think the probability of a 100% recovery rate in a ship going down in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea in the middle of a hurricane would be? I guarantee you it's not 100%.
Right?
Right? But Paul says none of that matters. None of that matters. Why? Because God told me so.
Amen.
Right? Because God told me so. And not only did he tell him this right here, he reaffirmed it right here, but he told him before he even got on the ship that he was going to go to Rome and testify of him. You want to know why? You want to know why I'm not going to die and why none of you are going to die? Because God's got a preaching appointment for me before Caesar.
Right.
And guess what? There are some people in Caesar's household that the Lord intended by his providence to be converted to the gospel by Paul. And guess what? The Lord promised that he was going to preach to him and he was going to make sure that he would. Now, after he makes that statement, now all of a sudden the centurion's converted to believe him. All the prisoners, you know, they throw everything off of the ship and make weight, you know, trying to take some of that stuff off. But then they end up shipwrecked. And they end up spending three months on this remote island. But guess what? None of them died. None of them died. But look how bold the Apostle Paul's faith was right there. In the middle of that hopeless situation, he says, you know what? It doesn't matter how bad things look right now. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the severity of the storm. It doesn't matter if the ship is taking on water and the water's so much in it that it, in my natural mind, it's about to capsize. It doesn't matter if I'm in the middle of a storm that I haven't seen any sun for 2 weeks and there's no hope. It doesn't matter. Why? Because God gave me a promise. Because God gave me a promise. And that's where you have to go back to. That's where you have to return to in the midst of severe storms in the midst of this life. But at the end of the day, regardless of the difficulties we endure in this life, and we also need to be reminded, right, that no storm is permanent. No storm is permanent. Storms are always temporary. Now, they're severe in the midst of it, right? And some of them can be very destructive. You know, think about tornadoes. You know, sometimes the storm that they tell you beforehand that's going to be really bad, and you get really geared up for it, and you know what? Oh, it wasn't that bad. But sometimes houses get clean taken off the foundation. I mean, storms have varying levels of severity, right? Some of them are very destructive. Some of them end up not being as bad as you thought they were going to be. But regardless, they're always temporary.
Amen.
And guess what? They're actually usually not that long. Now they're very heightened, right? They're very severe, very very few. Which, by the way, there was something unique about this little storm that they were in, because typically hurricanes don't stay in the same spot for 2 weeks.
Right.
Okay, and I guarantee they weren't sailing with it. So it's very rare for a storm of this severity to happen or to last this long. The majority of the time, think about tornadoes or even hurricanes. They're very severe intensity. And what do you do in a hurricane? You gotta put wood on the windows, right? You gotta literally batten the hatches. Why? Because it is high intensity severity. But you know what? After that, it's over. It's over. And isn't that a great picture, by the way? Because, you know, the hurricanes, theoretically, I don't know about this, but that's what I've heard, that theoretically, there is calm in the midst of the eye of the hurricane.
Right.
Right? Well, if you want to think about that spiritually, there is calm in the midst of the eye of the storm. Why? Because Jesus is in the middle, right? The I Am is right there in the middle. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter the difficulties that we have in this world. Ultimately, God has promised us safe passage to heaven.
Yes,
okay?
Sir. Amen.
And He's in the ship with us. He's in the ship with us. And there's no possibility that the ship is going to go down in the middle of it. You know, and the last thing we should ever do, right, in the middle of that is throw up our hands and say, Lord, you don't even care about me. Lord, how could you let this happen? You know, you don't even care if we perish. Well, you know what? At the end of the day, storms are temporary, but sometimes we go through prolonged seasons of challenging circumstances
Amen.
In our life. But guess what? Even if our entire life, 80 years and 10, or 80, if you have some extra strength, right? If the entire totality of our life was just one big storm, what's that in comparison to eternity?
Amen.
And what's that in comparison to what God has given us? If you ever question that God cares about you, we just need to look at the cross.
Amen.
I'll tell you, because if we have any doubt, if we have any doubt about Jesus' concern with us if we perish, right? You know, we get in the middle of this, Lord, don't you care if we perish? He proved if He cared if you perished, right? Because we were in eternal perishing, and He came into this world and died for our sins to put to rest any doubt we would ever have of if He cares for us in the midst of the storm. And it's because of that that we will have safe passage.
Amen.
We will have safe passage to heaven.
Praise God.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.